WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Kremlin says Vladimir Putin met with U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff today ahead of President Trump's Friday deadline for reaching a ceasefire agreement with Ukraine. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
We haven't seen any signs, any signals from the Kremlin that it's willing to do a U-turn or make concessions in order to end the fighting.
Mr. Trump's threatened Russia with severe tariffs. We've found out more about the Justice Department's meetings with Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe.
CBS News has learned Ghislaine Maxwell said nothing during her nine-hour meeting with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche in July that would be harmful to President Trump.
California's biggest wildfires, one in Los Padres National Forest, is growing. CBS's Jason Allen is in Santa Maria.
The wind has been pushing the fire through these canyons, and it is testing some of those containment lines. The weather isn't offering any help.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Gas prices are up 4.8 cents compared to last week, landing at an average of $2.92. This is 0.7 cents lower than a month ago and over 56 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. The national average has increased during the past 2 weeks and is up 1.3 cents from last month, standing at $3.11 per gallon. Officials at Gas Buddy say OPEC Plus has fully restored production to 2023 levels. The weak jobs report and renewed tariff threats bring fresh economic concerns, causing oil prices to potentially face headwinds. This could pave the way for a decline in gas prices in the weeks ahead. Prices in central Wisconsin range from $2.76 to $2.87 per gallon. The Wisconsin Elections Commission deactivated nearly 200,000 voter registrations on Friday, August 1st. This happens every 4 years in a maintenance process required by law. The voters deactivated by the WEC had not voted in the past 4 years, and the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Megan Wolf, says the WEC does not have a record of them responding to a mailing from the agency regarding their registration status. Every 2 years, the commission is required by state law to conduct voter record maintenance. Wolf said the required review helps ensure the integrity of the statewide voter database. Individuals whose voter registration status is deactivated can no longer vote using that voter record and must re-register to vote at their current address. Of the more than 202,000 postcards the commission mailed in June notifying inactive voters a notice of suspension, 9,501 did respond. Voters with no record of responding or whose postcard was returned as undeliverable by the post office were deactivated. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
Another Brewers victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up their series with the Braves in Atlanta. Milwaukee winning again last night, 7-2. Manager Pat Murphy says now the games get tougher.
You know, this is a game that easily, you know, when the other team leaves 14 on base and only scores two runs, they certainly didn't get the big hit. So we were fortunate. We got to look at that as, oof. You know, we're fortunate to take advantage of some walks, but that's who we are.
NFL, the Packers signed Nate Hobbs to a four-year contract worth over $48 million, but he's not going to be in any preseason games. The defensive back says he needed surgery on his right knee after colliding with a teammate in practice last week.
I think it was Thursday's practice. It was a play. It was a collision. It was like slight little minor bump. I felt like I always, you know, something I always get. Somebody ran into me. But it turned out to be something deeper than that. So.
That's Packers defensive back Nate Hobbs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a high near 85. Slight chance of a shower tonight, 65. Some showers and storms on your Thursday with highs in the mid-80s. Sunny and hotter for Friday, low 90s. For Saturday, showers and storms, 92.
Right now, it's 55.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect.
beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome into the studio Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Kinnett and Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter DeAndre Marie performs live. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday, August 6th, 2025. Parker Olson is producing this show down in Madison Studio A2, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well. Brittany, we were talking about the musical Hamilton opening 10 years ago today. Have you seen it? Are you a Hamilton fan?
I have not seen it. No, okay. But I would love to. I would love to.
You would love it. What I learned over the news break here is that Parker here, he was in high school when this musical was peaking, and makes a unique claim about his knowledge of Hamilton. And that claim, Parker, would be?
I'm pretty sure I know just about every word to that entire show, I think.
And so, since we don't have a guest for, you know, another 28 minutes or so here, we're now going to turn the show over to Parker, and he's going to recite Hamilton, yeah. The clean, take out all the naughty words.
Something like it, too.
Take it away, buddy. How does never mind. In the very first line, there's words we can't say. So I guess we'll just have to go to weather instead.
How does it?
See? Mm. Yeah, you got it.
The first line.
Yeah. Yep. Mm. We'll come back to it.
Shoot.
Yeah. We'll workshop this. In the meantime, we have been talking about the wildfire smoke, which, by the way, the advisories for at least parts of Wisconsin, this is the 23rd day, I believe, of advisories exceeding the record from 2023. Not a record you really want to break, but we do appear to be on the tail end of it, Brittany.
Oh, let's hope so. It kind of went backwards this morning. Areas that aren't even in an air quality alert are seeing some of the highest levels throughout the state right now. Just south of Madison, you're in a red unhealthy level at the moment. It's orange, unhealthy for sensitive, pretty much all throughout central Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, and all of eastern Wisconsin. Still seeing that wildfire smoke, that fog, that thick haze out there. Hopes are that by this afternoon, it should clear the entire state. We've got winds starting to move out of the south. They're starting to get feisty. So they should gust around 15 to 20, hopefully, miles per hour this afternoon, kicking out that air mass and bringing in a new one. The new one comes with rain, more humidity and mugginess, and of course, hot temperatures as we push towards the weekend. So changing weather patterns completely here as the jet stream starts to lift north. We are looking at a low pressure just off to the west that is wrapping in a warm front to the western parts of the state right now. That's where those south winds are coming from. And today we are going to hit the low to mid 80s. So getting a little bit warmer there. We will become mostly cloudy because we do have rain on the way. Light rain and drizzle is possible today, kind of working its way throughout the state. And then overnight, we got another round coming through with some more scattered showers, maybe some rumbles of thunder. No severe weather to worry about just yet. And of course, as we go into tomorrow, highs will be in the low to mid 80s. And we've got the mugginess seeping in at that point. It's going to get very hot and humid. Temperatures nearing 90 degrees on Friday and Saturday, and dew points in those 70s. So it's going to be feeling closer to those mid to upper 90s. And then the cold front hits. That'll be Saturday and into Sunday. That's where the severe weather chance moves in and some heavy rain that could cause some flash flooding.
Ooh, so much to watch over the next few days here.
Yes.
Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob on YouTube. It's partly cloudy with light fog and 58 degrees, still very smoky. Yesterday, I got 4 yards mowed west of Tigerton and had no breakdowns, which is something we always like to see. I went to the Tigerton Library after work to get the latest information on Highway 29 plans to put into my Highway 29 scrapbook, and then had tacos sponsored by Tigerton Main Street Incorporated. Yesterday was his sister Debbie and her husband Kevin's 30th wedding anniversary. Some lawns to mow and then a doctor's appointment in Shawano. And here's a traffic update from Tigerton. Beginning August 11th, there will be road work along 29 westbound between the Wolf River Bridge and the Highway 22 interchange. It'll be down to one lane in each direction, and the Highway 22 interchange ramps will be closed until late October.
Ooh, take that's note. A while.
I know.
Jeez.
We would do more of these, but given what construction season is like in Wisconsin, that would take the whole 3 hours. So we're just going to put them in from the Tigerton area. If you want to add your own to the comment section, that's fine as well. Hey, Brittany, thanks so much. We'll talk to you in our next hour.
Sounds good. See ya.
All right. Reminder that you can always sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, including our Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics. And we have a question of the week this week that asks, how should blue states respond to the red state gerrymandering going on in Texas? Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network later today, well, of course, you've got Matt Nair on Air, which follows this program from 9 to 11. Political strategist Joe Zepecki will be joining Jane and Greg just after 9:30. And then in the 10 o'clock hour, Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Again, Darren Von Ruden, not to be confused with Derek Van Orden, the congressman, who is decidedly not working in line with things the way the Wisconsin Farmers Union is. The Todd Alba Show is on from 2 to 4 this afternoon, and I'll be making an appearance there in the 2 o'clock hour, and maybe Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project. I know that he is traveling, so he may or may not be checking in. He's so far away right now that we may actually have him on this show tomorrow morning, Trygve Olson, because we can't get him to wake up at 7 a.m. in Wisconsin, but it'll be well past that where he is. So we might have a Trygve Olson sighting, if not this afternoon, then tomorrow. And then Jim Santel is the guest host on the Maggie Dawn Show, starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Hey, Pete Schwabba's got a couple of guests this evening as well. At 6:30, he'll catch up with musician and photographer Chris Rogowski, and then Madison film critic Rob Thomas at 7:20. So much to see, so much to hear across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can see more over at their website, civicmedia.us. We've been talking more sports lately than we otherwise normally would. That's what happens when your team is on another winning streak. This one is 5 games after the Brewers beat up on Atlanta again last night, 7-2. So the winning streak is at 5. The lead over the Cubs is now 4, a 4-game lead in the National League Central Division. Freddy Peralta went 5 innings, giving up only 1 run on 4 hits. Andrew Vaughn singled in 2 runs, and he extended his hitting streak to 11, matching his career high. And National League Rookie of the Year candidate Isaac Collins drove in 2 runs on 2 hits. Jose Quintana will start Game 3. And once again, pregame at 5:40 this evening on several Civic Media stations. Then a travel day tomorrow as the Brewers come home and will have a weekend series against the Mets. Do we think the radio station tickets for the Brewers, those nice club seats, do we think they're all probably all snapped up by now? Right?
I do believe they're all snapped up. It was whenever you were here, so like 2 weeks ago, I think I asked Luke for some tickets. Might have been for this weekend, and he said no. How about the end of the
how about no?
Yeah, how about no? So right. No, yeah, it's slim pickings, I believe, is the
well
term.
That's what happens if you want to go to a White Sox game. I mean, there's tickets. If you want to go to a Twins game, it's already tough Twins. Enough to be a fan of a sports team that is not doing well. In the social media era, you at least can laugh through the tears. The memes that have been put up, the TikTok videos that have been put up by Twins fans after the ownership had a fire sale, you know, last week. I mean, what was it? 10 out of the 26 players were traded away in some way, shape, or form. So you've got like the, you know, the John Travolta one from Pulp Fiction, or I think it's Pulp Fiction. He's just looking around the room, like looking, is anybody here? And of course they put him in Target Field, looking around. Is anybody here from this team? You've got from The Fresh Prince, when Will Smith comes down, you know, into the family home and like all the furniture is gone and everybody's gone. Like, where did they go? No shortage of movie clips that point out just how hard it is to be a Twins fan this year anymore. Yeah.
I feel bad. Good baseball's fun.
No, we don't have to feel bad.
No, I don't care about. Here are the teams I don't like. The Cubs and the Cardinals.
Oh, well, that's a short list.
I think, as far like that I care about not liking, those are the only ones. Yeah. I don't love the Yankees. But
I think the only team I would say I don't like in baseball would be the White Sox, because they had, is he still there? Or is he gone now? That announcer of theirs. Hawk Harrelson or something like that. I mean, it was him and another announcer. And it's just that, you know, that Chicago tough guy thing where they just dump on all the other teams. They can't just call the game. They always felt the need to punch down back when they thought they were all tough. And then, of course, the White Sox, you know, before the Brewers were big rivals with the Cubs, the Brewers were in the American League.
Yeah.
And it was the White Sox games that got particularly nasty. I mean, in the couple of years before the Brewers switched from the American to the National League, those games, I'm not saying they were all bench-clearing brawls, but, you know, they got to be tense at times.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
And either way, you had to put up with Chicago fans coming up to Milwaukee. Yeah. And that's a thing.
That is a whole thing. Chicago sports fans are an interesting breed.
You know what, though? Over time, I mean, we used to say this about Bears fans, too, but, you know, when you spend enough time in the basement, you're eventually a little bit more humbled when you're able to, you know, come out of the basement and meet up with the rest of the folks. Bears fans have been better behaved. I'm not going to say well behaved. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But they've been better behaved. Roger putting up on Facebook here. Hawks partner was Tom Pachorik. Yeah, it was him. And there was it John Rooney for a while was with them as well. Anyway, they were just so.
Southside?
Yeah. So not fun to listen to. So for the Brewers to be having the kind of year that they're having, especially this lead up on the Cubs, if it can maintain, it's just going to make things that much sweeter. Plenty of things to see over at couriernewsroom.com, Courier Newsroom being the parent company of Up North News. For example, there's Mark Jacob, who joins us on Friday mornings. He also has the Stop the Presses newsletter. You can also see it at stopthepresses.news. And this week in his newsletter, he says, will journalism become impossible in the U.S.? Trump's war on the free press is following the foreign dictator's playbook. And he outlines that. Let's see. We also have our friend Jennifer Scholze, who has a newsletter on Substack. You can find her newsletter, Indistinct Chatter, on Substack by searching for @NewsJennifer. She is talking about the Paramount merger with Skydance and its takeover of CBS. And in her newsletter this week, she says, a CBS investigative piece on the Epstein jail video broke important new ground. Under its new mega mandate, that story might never be allowed. And so you can look for that again from our friend Jennifer Scholze. And then back on Courier Newsroom on YouTube, go to youtube.com and then put in Courier HQ. And look for the series, How Is This Better, with Akilah Hughes. And again, this one is about the Trump media takeover and why Americans are increasingly split into the informed and the manipulated. So all that and more to find over at couriernewsroom.com. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then when we come back, we'll have this week's homeroom segment. We'll be talking to folks from Green Bay, from the school board, from the city council, about the ways that they created better taxpayer transparency when it came to the cost of voucher schools and how you can do that in your community as well. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. Powered by Up North News, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This summer, try the new Strato Frappuccino blended beverage at Starbucks. It's the classic blended iced coffee you know and love, now topped with a creamy layer of handcrafted brown sugar cold foam. Available for a limited time. Your Strato Frappuccino is ready at Starbucks.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. If you're a renter, make sure you're protected. Renter's insurance includes options that cover stolen property, personal injury, and living expenses if your place is damaged. Quote renter's insurance at progressive.com.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
You may have heard of the 4% rule when it comes to retirement. After you retire, you withdraw 4% of your retirement savings each year. The truth is, the 4% rule should be viewed as a guide, not as a strict rule. For example, the rule is based on retiring at age 65. If you retire earlier, you may want a lower withdrawal rate. Your lifestyle also matters. Are you planning to travel the world or spend more time at home? Consider inflation as well. A well-built strategy usually includes small annual increases in withdrawals. But you don't need to take a raise just because the calendar says so. So, stay flexible and revisit your plan of withdrawals regularly. That will give you the best shot at a secure, fulfilling retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
We kick off this hour with Assistant GM Jake Adams joining us from your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. We got a couple of events going on. Going to talk to the end of the season here in a little bit, but Jake, how's it going?
Oh, doing pretty good, James. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. Melissa, Jake's got the headphones on, so he can hear you if you want to jump in at all.
Perfect.
Jake, right away, I know that for you in the front office, a lot of you were in your first years and doing this and everything. I know for me in the community, us here as a staff, we've really enjoyed working with you guys. We think you guys have done a fantastic job this season. How have you felt? How have you enjoyed it?
I mean, really appreciate those words, James, and this season's been really special. I know it isn't exactly what you want to see out of the Rafters on the field, but off the field, we feel like we've done a lot more to kind of be out in the community and just be out there and be special this year. Like we've had some really great moments, and I've really appreciated learning a little more about this team, more about this community, and it's been a really special season.
One of the things that I appreciate about, especially Rapids fans and fan bases, and I know this going to high school here and seeing it, the way they treated a lot of their high school teams, wins and losses are here and there, and people care about that stuff, but they want to see effort. They want to see people trying. They want to see people caring about what's happening, whether there's wins and losses, and I think that is a big part of where the Rafter fan has been in 2025. I know for me personally, and I've talked to many other fans about about this. Whether this team is down 10 runs or 2 runs, they're trying. Last night is a perfect example of the Raptor season in many ways, where they're getting knocked out in the first couple of innings, and then they're just like gangbusters after that, and just rallying, and the team getting behind itself. And it wasn't enough, maybe, but they give you a game. They give you excitement. They give you trying and effort. All the things that I don't know, to me at least, I can't ask for much more out of an athlete. I can't ask much more.
It makes it fun to watch.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And we've had that all season long. Every game that I've caught every game this year, at least a couple of innings. And every game, these guys are doing that. And it's just as impressive when you think about it's not the same guys. There is such an interchanging of the roster that goes on in the Northwoods League that I don't think we give enough credit to, especially fans don't think about enough how difficult it is. If I grab two people in our audience, put them on a diamond and say, have perfect chemistry, understand each other's ins and outs, understand where you need to throw that ball to first base to get that runner, where you need to tag, the catcher needs to throw for the second baseman to catch us. There's so many little things that guys have been playing together their whole lives are still working out.
Yeah.
Let alone just throwing these guys out there and, hey, go make it work. It's a credit to the coaching staff and these athletes and what they've accomplished this year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the biggest thing I can say for the testament of the team is if you look back last Friday when we had that extra innings thriller, I mean,
it's a great game.
There was no giving up. There was no quit in any of them. Lakeshore scored a run. We scored two. They came back every time and they kept fighting and fighting. It didn't go our way in the end, but it was a testament. When you're down and out, you're never out. They kept fighting. Yes. They kept fighting and they kept making it interesting for us. So I think that's a huge testament for the Raptors this season is they never quit no matter what.
I want to wrap up talking a little bit about the promotions this year, but before we get to that, I did want to talk about some coming up. We are going to be our friend Laura over on 105.5 WIRI, works over here as well. She's going to be live and direct at the National Night Out tomorrow night over at Winterfield. We're going to have a police department down there. We're going to have some community partnership going on down there, police squads, ballpark food, fun activities for all ages. And if you attend the game, you're going to receive a free Raptor ticket for the game that night.
Yes, sir. I mean, we're looking forward to that one. We want to fill Winterfield for this last home game of the season, but looking forward to partnering with the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department to put on National Night Out. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of displays, a lot of booths, and then, yeah, if you show up, come to the pregame, come to all the activities, you get a free ticket to the game that night.
And it's a great night for families. Like, I was there last year, and it's just fabulous. There's so much to do, so much to see. The kids have so much fun.
Oh, yeah, that's the biggest thing we look for in all this is just how can we have a lot of fun with the families in the community. So we're hoping to see a lot of families out there tomorrow.
And I have to say, the hosting this event is one thing. Doing all these things is awesome. It's great. I really do think putting that free ticket out there is a really nice added bonus to this. I think that's very cool and above and beyond by the Raptors to do something like that. And I think being a part of something like this is such an integral part of what we're talking about, whether we're talking Raptors or River Kings. Again, wins, losses, championships, that's really cool. We love that stuff. I do not want to skate past that. We like to win around here.
Yeah.
But this is what it's all about. Absolutely. These events, these kind of things. This is why you have teams in your city if you're fortunate enough to. It's another thing that I think it's a little lost after 16 years for some fans sometimes. This is still a privilege. I mean, this is still not a privilege, but something that is really like fortunate. Not every community has something like this, like the Raptors and everything. So it's a nice reminder of that events like tomorrow. And on top of all that, it is our final home game of the season. So let's make sure to show these athletes, these coaches, everybody involved with this organization, what home field advantage is. Let's really fill that park. Let's show them how much we appreciated having them this summer and enjoy ourselves and get on out there. And if you go to, the National Night Out thing, you're getting a free ticket to the game.
Absolutely. And we're going to do some fun stuff during the game as well. We got our biggest fireworks show of the season, and we're auctioning off the Raptors home jerseys from this year.
Nice.
So if you win a jersey, you can go down on the field and get it from the player themselves. They'll sign it for you, take a photo. Just want to give that interactive option where you're with these people, you're meeting these kids and being able to do something a little more interactive.
That's an awesome idea. Oh, I love that idea. I immediately wanted to be a fan. Yeah. I immediately just wanted to have no ties to you guys and just be a fan to be in on that. That's awesome.
I'll expect a couple bids from James.
Yes, absolutely. There. Yeah. That's awesome, man. That is a really cool idea. And another great idea. And one of the things that I think that comes with the Rafters have a couple of things that are so unique to them and only them in the Northwoods League. They are one of the few teams that owns their ballpark. That means so much for us as fans, for us as a community, as a city, economically, and so many other factors, as well, of course, for ownership over there. And with that, you can do a little bit more fun things from time to time.
Thank you for listening to WFHR and WIRI Studios. For more information or for the rest of our content, you can visit WFHR.com, WIRI.FM, or the Civic Media.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Stephanie Hoff. Along with you, this is the Midwest Farm Report. Today, we're digging into a story that might hit close to home, or at least the kitchen table. Ground beef prices are on the rise. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing walks us through what's causing the price hike.
Well, we just saw some stats over the night that U.S. ground beef to the retail consumer is actually hitting its historic highs this last week. Some of that might be tied to a little bit of tariff play. We did put a 50% tariff on Brazilian imports, and we import a lot of beef from Brazil. That usually goes into trim, so that may be one of the reasons why the hamburger price is going higher. Trim obviously is the ground beef that we see that hits stores and restaurants. So we'll have to really watch that going forward in terms of that cattle market. Just the supplies of cattle are not out there, and that's going to be something that keeps prices elevated.
Historic highs on ground beef, something you may be noticing this summer as you prep burgers for the grill. Market advisor John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. I've got more farm news on the way.
Join our friends from Wisconsin Farmers Union in Booth 607 and Midwest Farm Report at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days on Wednesday, August 6th at 2 p.m. Wisconsin Farmers Union is united to grow family agriculture. Visit wisconsinfarmersunion.com to learn more.
This year's Farm Technology Days is celebrating generations of progress August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, Wisconsin. This year's show takes a glimpse into the future of agriculture with technology and technique. Visit WIFarmTechDays.org for a full schedule of events.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
It was a busy week for Wisconsin farmers with nearly six whole days suitable for field work. Harvest is underway for small grains and hay, while soil moisture remains mostly favorable. Nearly 80% of corn has reached the silking stage. That's 5 days ahead of last year. Corn and soybeans are both holding steady at 81% good to excellent, though that did dip slightly from last week. Soybeans are moving along with more than 80% blooming and more than half setting pods. That's ahead of both last year and the five-year average. Winter wheat harvest is 67% complete, running a bit behind, but potato harvest has just begun, and that crop quality is excellent, 96% rated good to excellent. And on the hay front, second cutting is nearly done, and the third is halfway there. That's according to the latest crop progress and condition report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a high near 85. Slight chance of a shower tonight, 65. Some showers and storms on your Thursday with highs in the mid-80s. Sunny and hotter for Friday, low 90s. For Saturday, showers and storms, 92.
It's 54 right now.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapahoe Way, you got to pray for yourself. as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Are you a little frustrated with how voting is going in Wisconsin? Well, tomorrow we'll talk about a possible solution called Fusion Voting. Join us live on location from La Crosse for Leader Ethics and Fusion Voting.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome to our weekly homeroom segment where we highlight public education in Wisconsin and the opportunities and especially the threats to it, including the lack of taxpayer transparency when it comes to things like the ongoing voucher school movement in Wisconsin. And today's topic takes me back several years to 2017, particularly when I was helping my friend, then State Representative Dana Walks, in his campaign for governor. And one of the things that he liked to talk about that he thought not enough people were talking about was that need for greater taxpayer transparency on property tax bills. That not enough was being done to let taxpayers know that when they see that line on their property tax bill that says, you know, School District of Chippewa Falls, that not all that money is going to the School District of Chippewa Falls. In fact, a lot of money is skimmed off the top and put into the voucher program, but the taxpayer wouldn't know it. Dana Walks wrote a bill that called for that chunk of money to be, you know, put separately on the property tax bill. Republicans in the legislature year after year said no, that they weren't going to require that through state law. Some folks in Green Bay said, well, maybe we need to make that happen at the local level. And they recently did. And they're here to talk about how you could do that same thing in your hometown and have, again, greater taxpayer transparency. This isn't about whether voucher schools should exist. And this time around, it's not even whether they should get state funding, though I'd argue that they shouldn't. But at the very least, you should know how much of your tax dollars go to that when it's on your property tax bill. So we welcome back to the program our friend Denise Gomer Hutchinson from Wisconsin Public Education Network. We're also happy to be joined by Laura McCoy of the Green Bay School Board and Alyssa Prophet, who's an alder on the Green Bay City Council. Nice to have all of you here. Thank you, Denise, Laura, Alyssa. Good to see you all.
Nice to be here.
Denise, let us start with you. I know we've talked to you about this previously, but lead us up into what happened in Green Bay. In other words, before we even get to what they did, maybe you can say, you'll say better than I can. Why is it important to have this kind of transparency on property tax bills?
Well, it's critical for taxpayers to make well-informed decisions on if they support future referendums, but also just to know and understand where their tax dollars are going.
Yeah. And so, again, the state legislature wasn't making this happen. Laura, do you want to pick up the story and talk about how things started to get rolling in Green Bay?
Yes. In the fall of 2023, our school board passed a resolution asking the city council of the various municipalities that fall underneath the Green Bay School District umbrella to please include this this information on their tax bill. We started with Green Bay, which is obviously the largest municipality. We passed the resolution. Our board passed it unanimously. It went before the city council the following January. And it got tabled. It didn't pass, and they didn't even take a vote. So what happened is that this is where Alyssa comes in. She was elected the following April and brought this back to the city council. The upmake of their city council had changed, and she really pushed hard for this.
Alyssa, why don't you go ahead and take the baton from there to talk about how you got started in this process.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm thankful to know both Denise and Laura, who are great advocates for public education. I also value public education. I have a kindergartner and first grader starting up in about a month here at Green Bay Public School. This was a conversation that I hate to say was easy at the start, right? Because I've yet to talk to a voter who wants less transparency when it comes to where their tax dollars are going. They want more. And in this conversation, like, where do we put it? I believe there's a few pieces of mail that taxpayers will look at and take seriously, and that's likely their W-2 documents if they still receive those via mail, and it's their tax bill. It's a property tax bill. The entirety of the council sees calls go up when it's that time of year, right? So really what I did from there was bring back a communication really for just staff to investigate the feasibility. That's the first step, is really, like, can we get our staff who are phenomenal at the city of Green Bay. They're willing to run with a lot of things that the council wants to look into, right? So that was the first step. We thankfully got that through committee level. Our legal and finance worked with the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, showed examples of where and what we were looking to do. They came back, and Wisconsin Department of Revenue was really our end all, or, you know, the final say. When it comes to the feasibility piece, they said, yeah, yes, we can do that. And the imaging that was shown was then sent back to council to discuss further. Was an interesting night at council in terms of who spoke in favor and who spoke against. So I can maybe let Laura or Denise speak to that a little further. But thankfully, it did pass. Unfortunately, when a lot of things pass easy in this cycle for us, this one was not. It was a 6-6, and it was broken by the mayor. But it was a pass. So we'll take that.
Well, without a doubt. So once you looked at the feasibility, I'm wondering if part of it, too, was then the cost. It's one thing to say you want the transparency, but A, you have to go get the numbers, and then B, you have to change the way that you do your property tax bills to put it out there. Was cost any kind of a consideration in this as well, Alyssa?
That was certainly a question from a number of alders as well. And our finance department is the one who creates and does the work there. And then the county is the one who prints the bill. So from a city perspective, our staff said to them, this would be $0 cost. I mean, they said it's work that we're already doing. It's something that, if that's what the body wants. It was kind of funny, the discussion, you know, folks were like, well, what else can we add to it? And they're like, yeah, what else do you want to add? I mean, it's printed for the city of Green Bay. Like, yeah, so cost certainly was a factor, but staff was confident in saying that it wouldn't be at any additional cost for us.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. It is sometimes politically convenient when you want costs itemized. I recall being in the legislature and hearing Republicans say, well, there should be a Google, government should be essentially like a checkbook where you can look line by line at, you know, all the things that cost taxpayers money, which nobody really totally disagrees with, Denise, unless you're looking for obfuscation. And so it's one thing about whether, you know, it's feasible to get the numbers. It's another thing if you can afford to put the numbers on. But it seemed to me, first and foremost, the reason we weren't seeing these numbers on tax bills was that there were too many lawmakers trying to hide the cost of vouchers. And Wisconsin Public Education Network has basically made a cottage industry out of going, oh, we'll get those numbers for you.
Yes, we have. And that's been really important and valuable, because we're finding a lot of legislators and therefore also city council members have no idea what the costs are for the voucher program and also what the costs are on the taxpayers.
Right. And so that's Denise Gomer Hutchinson from Wisconsin Public Education Network. A moment ago, you heard from Alyssa Proffitt on the City of Green Bay City Council. Now back to Laura McCoy on the Green Bay School Board. And again, this whole notion of getting the numbers and providing the transparency, this does not sound like it was a heavy lift for the school district of Green Bay, nor for any other school district. The transparency is something you would naturally want the taxpayer to have, it seems to me.
Yes, and I think that the indicator of the importance, political importance of this statewide, is who showed up at our city council that night to argue against voucher transparency. I think you might be interested to know that John Gard showed up and Kate Zeiske showed up to argue against this measure.
And remind people who they are.
John Gard used to be in the state legislature, and his wife, Kate Zeiske, used to be the secretary of
revenue, I believe, or and state treasurer. So, I mean, they've had leadership positions that were part of a legislature that was not looking to make these costs transparent. And as you just said, they're still arguing against that to this point. Let's carry it then to the next step, and that is other communities around Wisconsin, if they want to do this. And I don't know if the order in which you did it was the way that everybody should do it. Denise, do you want to go with this first, that if somebody just wants to start this from scratch in their particular school district, what are your recommended first steps? And then I'll ask Laura and Alyssa the same question.
Well, you'd want to contact Wisconsin Public Education Network. You can contact one of the regional, you can go to our website, find out information, how to get a hold of us, and we'll gladly have a conversation with you and get you all the background details. In fact, we have a toolkit that we're going to make available to communities that want to take this on. And yes, the first step is the school board writing that resolution and asking the city to do this, or the municipality or the township, because that's where it really has to start, is they have the information and they can move forward with it. Yep. So,
and that would be at wisconsinnetwork.org, a great website to learn more about taxpayer transparency. And so, yeah, let's, Laura, from a school board standpoint, again, if somebody is looking to get this going, what are your recommendations for first steps they should take?
Well, yes, as Denise said, it starts with that resolution. And since we were able to do this in Green Bay, people have been reaching out to me across the state. In fact, after I'm done here this morning, I'll be calling someone on the eastern part of the state who is very interested in trying this in their community. This issue is heating up, and I was in Milwaukee over the weekend to see Beto O'Rourke at a city hall kind of situation, and got up to speak and tell people about this, you know, what's going on. And I got to tell you that the room, when I told them that next year there might be as much as $800 million taken out of public education for the voucher program, I mean, this is, people are paying attention to this right now. So, you know, if this is important to you, if this is something you want to try to do, start with your school board, but you're also going to need your city officials. You're going to need the support of your community to some degree, as well as potentially your superintendent, maybe some statewide elected officials. In Green Bay, it took a team of people to take it through all the stages, and you know, in the end, that's what it took.
Alyssa, in our final minute here, from a city standpoint, again, whether somebody is hearing who is serving on a city council or is close to people who are, what should they do?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say reach out to Wisconsin Public Education, ask those questions, and you don't have to wait, I would say, from a city perspective, right, for your school board to take something up. If this is something that interests you, I think we always hear how education funding is complicated. It is, but sit down, grab a coffee with someone like Denise, get an understanding, because even though you might be from a municipal perspective, you still have that municipality. You can increase some transparency for your township, and everyone should consider doing it. We can't wait for the state to act. Time is now.
And our friend Chris Hambuck Boyle puts on Facebook, what a team for the taxpayers, what community will be next? And it's true. Oh, wait, did I want to make sure I get that right. I did say .org, right, on mine? Yes, WisconsinNetwork.org.
Yes,
okay, I saw in the comment section somebody fixed theirs. And again, just want to make sure it was clear, WisconsinNetwork.org, to learn more. Laura McCoy from the Green Bay School Board, Alyssa Prophet, a District 7 alder in the city of Green Bay, Denise Gomer-Hutchison from Wisconsin Public Education Network. You guys are taxpayer rock stars indeed. Thank you so very much. Good to see you today.
Nice to be here.
All right. And again, this is something that you can do in your community as well. And I think back to Dana Wachs's original bill. This is a basic thing. The legislature should have done it years and years ago. They didn't, but you can. A local break is next for some of you. Others will catch up with Jimmy Cuska from Civic Media next. You're up north.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
National Night Out, Fan Appreciation Night, Wednesday, August 6th at 6:35 p.m., wrapping up the season with a bang. National Night Out features equipment displays and games from WRPD, a replica police badge giveaway, jersey off our back auction, and a finale fireworks show. Take yourself out to the ball game at historic Witterfield in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafters Baseball and National Night Out, presented by Gamber Johnson, Tuesday, August 6th.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
You can also shoot her an email as well, and her email is communications@wisconsinrapidschamber.com.
A network exchange for HR professionals, a really good topic, one that I don't see covered very often. That's going to be coming up. That sounds like a really important event.
Yeah, so we have a couple of different network exchanges over at the Chamber, and we run them quarterly. So we have one for HR, one for safety, and one for women professionals. So the one happening on August 13th is our network exchange for HR professionals. And it's for smaller businesses or businesses that don't necessarily have an HR department. So you can come and get some feedback, shoot around ideas, get some insight into some of those common HR issues that you're having within your company, you know, and so that way you don't have to go through and hire an HR professional. Especially if you're somebody that wears multiple hats in your company, yes. This is a really great one to go to. So again, it's on August 13th from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it's going to be at the bank account in Rudolph. So the speaker, Becky Gorse, she'll be talking about the Spectrum Benefits Solutions of Central Wisconsin and covering all of those things that entail those benefits and how to integrate those into your company so that you can have better benefits for your employees.
Yeah, smaller businesses out there would, I think this is a really perfect for them too. And again, another way of showing how you're looking out for them and trying to help those small businesses out there. And it, whether it is an issue that you have had or one you just want to avoid, it's a great idea to be doing this. That sounds like a really good one to have.
You know, and then you're also surrounded by other HR professionals in the area that are kind of like familiar with some of the common issues that this area has. So really great advice, and you can make great connections there. I highly recommend attending one if you have like an HR role in your company, and then make contacts. So that way, when something does happen in the future, you can call that buddy back up again and be like, hey, I met you at Network Exchange. I have an issue. Can you help?
Those are connections that you love to have. Hopefully you don't have to use them, but they're good to have. And a great opportunity to do that, doing other networking. You never know what other things will come up in conversation. Yeah. And that's a great one. When is that again?
August 13th.
Do you have to register for that event?
Yes, registration closes August 6th. So it's free for members. And then I think there's like a $10 fee for non-members. And we will also be providing lunch that day.
Very cool. If people want to register, how can they do that?
They can visit our website at wisconsinrapidschamber.com or give us a call and we'll add you to the registration list at 715-423-1830.
Be sure to spread the word about that one, too, everybody. That's one that I would want every small business owner to know about. Rendezvous in the Park coming up August 20th at beautiful Riverside Park in Nakusa. Yeah. Touched on this before. Another event that has really gotten stronger over the last couple of years and more attended in a beautiful location. I love that spot.
Yeah. So Rendezvous in the Park happens August 20th from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. At the Riverside Park in Nakusa. And I really love this one because it's just right there by the river, you know, and I see so many people coming out to it and enjoying the music and the food that we have out there. And it's really great. So this week we have our sponsors, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Mid-State Technical College, and the Nakusa Lions Club. And I don't know if you know, but whenever Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa sponsors one of ours and they set up a little booth, they usually have rewards placed. So there's probably going to be a high attendance out there this week for that one. Everybody's probably going to stop by and try to get some rewards play or spin their wheel or whatever game they have down
there. That's going to be a busy booth. That's going to be a busy one right there. It's going to be a good time, too.
Yeah. Along with Mid-State Technical College, I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff that they've had on their
tables
lately.
Stuff. Yeah. Love our friends over at MSTC. And the Nakusa Lions Club is going to be down there. Cool.
They're also going to be providing the food too. And I don't know if I've been down there before when they've had they were. The
I haven't
food
gotten to try that, but I've heard great things, and I know they're great people over there. They're really cool people at the Lions Club, and that's great that they're doing that. They're going to be not only a booth but the food down there. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Great entertainment. One of my favorite entertainers this area has, Mr. Ben Shedtek, going to be down there. That's cool. And a real big thank you to the season sponsors.
Yep. Our season sponsors this year is The Spot by Jacoby and the City of Nakusa. I tip my hat to the City of Nakusa because they have been very actively, you know, helpful to us this year and really growing our relationship with them. And then The Spot by Jacoby, they're doing great things over there as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's something that is... I think so just invigorating and so cool to see communities doing these things and taking it on themselves to like, we're going to make our community better. We're going to make it stronger. And a lot of this is being done because we're working together, town and town working together, city and city working together. We're seeing a lot of that, and that's really cool. It's fantastic. Yeah. Also, before we let you go, promise, I did want to talk a little bit about the ACE Leadership Program.
Okay.
You guys are, I believe you're accepting applications. Those are open now?
Yep. So we're accepting applications for the 2025-2026 program year. So this program kicks off in October and runs for 8 months through April. And so the group meets once a month, and normally it's people that are, you know, looking to develop their leadership skills or grow their leadership skills, or people that are looking to network with other leaders in the area. Anybody that is like freshly entering our leadership role, if they've just moved into a supervisory position, and anybody that's, you know, new to the area. So if they moved into town here and got a job, like say at one of the companies in the area, it's really great for them to consider going through this program because you'll make connections and then learn about the community and all the different sectors that make Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin Rapids. So we meet like every once a month and we cover different areas like economic development, government services, nonprofit, manufacturing, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, through these different days, you'll, you know, gain impactful leadership skills, broaden your business and community network, and engage in hands-on community experiences while, you know, exploring a variety of community roles to, you know, further develop and enhance your leadership skills. Plus, once you complete the program, you earn one credit for the leadership course over at Mid-State Technical
College. That's so
cool. Yeah,
such a cool little, a real tip of the hat to Mid-State and adding that on to this and everything.
Yeah.
And the idea of that was also a tip of the hat. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And spacing is limited. I think we can go up to like 25 participants and we've already received a couple of applications.
So I imagine,
If you're a business out there and you have somebody that you want to move into a leadership.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Bulldozers are clearing brush at Los Padres National Forest north of Los Angeles, where the state's largest wildfire has now chewed through more than 80,000 acres. CBS's Jason Allen is in Santa Maria.
The separation between black and green on the hillside is where firefighters have cut big fire breaks and used retardant to stop it here. But no sooner do they do that, the wind kicks up and the fire just pops up again somewhere else.
We've learned more about Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator and her interview with a top Trump administration official. CBS's Tina Kraus.
Sources familiar with the matter tell CBS News Epstein's associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, did not implicate President Trump in Epstein's crimes during her recent meeting with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche.
In Japan. A ceremony today marking 80 years since the U.S. dropped the world's first atomic bomb on Hiroshima. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Ryan.